sixth and final case, the United States versus Howell. Ms. Garst.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Hannah Garst. I represent Defendant Appellant Charles Howell. We believe that the District Court erred in this case when it concluded that Mr. Howell qualified for a three-level enhancement for being a manager or supervisor of the conspiracy. We do not believe that Mr. Howell exercised authority or control over any other participant. This Court has stated that it would use seven factors in determining whether this enhancement is applicable. And in United States versus Mustreed, it said the key inquiry was the exercise of decision-making authority. Now, we believe the facts of this case do not demonstrate that he exercised decision-making authority over Mr. Scott or Mr. Guevara. Mr. Scott's testimony reveals that Mr. Howell had little to no involvement whatsoever in the Quad Cities operation. He stated that Mr. Howell did not know anyone involved there. He had never visited the Quad Cities, and that Mr. Howell, in this case, was merely his supplier. It's clear Mr. Howell is a drug dealer. He deals drugs, and he supplied Mr. Scott. That's not in question. But when looking at this enhancement in and of itself, if he's not involved in the Quad Cities operation, which we contend that he's not, the only other operation that he was charged and pled guilty to is the Tennessee operation.
Although in the Tennessee operation, it does have a situation where it looks like we have more of an employer-employee. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, I can understand how the court would see it that way, but I would disagree with that on several levels. First, when Scott was asked about his relationship with Mr. Howell, he, over and over in his testimony at sentencing, explains that they're friends, best friends. He didn't describe them as partners. He was the one who initiated much of the contact that he had with Mr. Howell related to Tennessee. He asked Mr. Howell to go to Tennessee. He approached Mr. Howell and said, "Hey, I need money for Christmas." Mr. Howell then did turn around and say, "Well, why don't you go to Tennessee? You can pick up my dog and my car." Again, we believe that, although I understand how the court could say, well, this appears that he's being a manager or leader, we would contend that if you're, in this case, if you're a drug dealer and you have a friend who's asking you, "Hey, can I go there? I need some money," if you at any point say, "Yeah, you're my friend, you can come with me," then that wouldn't automatically lend you to being their manager or supervisor.
Yeah, but Howell pays Scott. You know, good close friends don't start paying people.
I know Scott did testify that Mr. Howell paid him. I believe on the first trip he said he paid him $400 to $500. We believe that, yes, it's interesting that he did that. I fully admit that. The problem is,
and then he also pays Guevara a large tip, you know, to package and mail the drugs. I mean, why wouldn't those two incidents be enough to meet the definition of manager or supervisor in and of themselves?
Well, Your Honor, we would say that it's not enough to be able to control someone. For example, in the Brown case, they were talking about how Mr. Sorrells was fronting drugs, and he did have the ability to control. But in that case, this court said that the government never proved that he actually exercised that control. So, yes, you know, tipping, maybe it did give Mr. Howell authority or control, which we would not, I'm not conceding that it did, but if it did, the fact is that Mr. Howell still has to exercise that control. And in Mr. Guevara's case, we would say that he never exercised that control. He never instructed him to do anything beyond what he was doing in the business, which is shipping packages. He never demanded that he do anything. He never demanded that he keep the store open. My guess is that Mr. Howell is a nice guy. Yes, he's a drug dealer, but he seems to elicit people who are testifying for the government saying, "He's my friend. You know, I asked him to do these things." Mr. Guevara testified, "I offered to give him my cell phone number so I So he could call me to see if packages arrived. I asked him for his cell phone number so I could let him know that packages arrived. So again, I think it's important to look at whether he was actually exercising any authority or control over other participants of the conspiracy. Now, I want to note for the court also that the government is heavily relying on Mr. Scott's testimony, and unfortunately the district court in this case did not give much, if any, reasoning for why it enhanced Mr. Howell's sentence based on being a manager or supervisor. So as we stated in the brief, this court can look to anything in the record to uphold the enhancement. But the district court, in making decisions at sentencing, did note that there was some credibility issues with regards to Scott's testimony. In that, the district court was not persuaded by Mr. Scott's testimony related to guns, and when it was trying to figure out relevant conduct and the amount of drug weight attributable to Mr. Howell, the pre-sentence report asked that the court give weight to 13,000 kilograms, and the district court eventually went to 1,000. So, again, although the district court didn't specifically say anything regarding Scott's testimony about the enhancement itself, it did say on page 163 of the sentencing transcript that it was having problems believing everything Scott was saying. So it does make it difficult to discern what, if any, of Scott's testimony the district court actually gave weight to in this case. Now, Your Honors, I would submit also that in looking in the cases where this enhancement was applicable, it's important to see that the cases they are talking about directly leading people, that they're organizing, they're controlling, they're giving direction. We do not believe that that's as apparent or apparent at all in this case. When you look at Mr. Shue's United States v. Shue, he organized and controlled access to the basement, allowing drug dealers to come in there. He followed dealers to the basement. He watched over them. But again, even in that case, the court found that there was no evidence that he had actually controlled, led, or organized these dealers. So, and there was no fronting of drugs in this case at all, so far as Mr. Scott's testimony. If you look even at United States v. Hall, which the government cited in its brief, it was clear that Mr. Hall recruited Maxwell. He instructed him to make calls to set up the drug deals. He directed him how to get the drugs actually into the prison. And he also stated that Maxwell did nothing without his permission. We do not believe the facts of this case arise even close to the level of the cases where this enhancement has been applied.
Thank you. Thank you again. I think Judge Roedner is right on in this case. I think the payment's ISIS case. In addition, recall that he paid Mr. Scott to be a courier of cash through the airport one day. All that's required is that he manage or supervise at least one participant. He clearly supervised Mr. Scott at that point. Mr. Scott didn't take off with the money. They met in a restroom after they went through security, and he retrieved the cash and bundles from Mr. Scott. I also think that while true, he did not full-time manage Mr. Guevara, he was clearly giving direction to Mr. Guevara. Mr. Guevara was not distributing marijuana or ecstasy on his own. He was only doing it at the direction of the defendant.
Mr. Hartzer,
yes.
Can you have a manager or supervisor if you don't have an organizer or a leader in a case?
It's a fine distinction, Your Honor. We did not cross-appeal. And we accept that 3 points instead of the four. But it's a very fine distinction, and I don't have that.
I'm not sure our jurisprudence is so clear on that point, and just relying on your years of experience. I just find it, I'm not criticizing the decision not to.
I understand.
This is an abstraction. I find that.
I had the same question as I read the transcript in this case as to whether or not there's a adequate justification for the three.
Now, would you agree that Tennessee versus the Quad City situation is one is perhaps a little more compelling on your position, in favor of your position, than the other?
Right. I agree with defense counsel. You do have to draw an inference regarding the Tennessee. But he had an apartment there that he kept to oversee. The testimony was that he oversaw the operation in Tennessee. Mr. Scott actually met the two men that were clearly employees of his in Tennessee. So that would satisfy the management criteria in and of itself. I think there are a lot of things you can look at to satisfy the management criteria in this case. And hopefully we didn't overly exhaustively address them in our brief, but fairly exhaustively, adequately exhaustively. If there are no further questions, thank you again.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ms. Garst.
Just a quick comment. It is interesting when you look at the Quad Cities versus Tennessee, even looking at the pre-sentence report, it's amazing how much information is laid out as far as the Quad Cities, and then there's very little information on the Tennessee conspiracy. And I noticed in the brief that the government talked about Mr. Howell being the most culpable of those involved in the conspiracy. Specifically, I would guess that they're relating it to Tennessee. But we would submit that Even in cases such as this, it's the government's responsibility to get the full breadth of knowledge, to fully understand what the conspiracy is about, rather than finding a very small part of the conspiracy and painting a picture that, oh, of what we know, here's four people, plus these other people over here in the Quad Cities where he wasn't really involved, but, you know, he did plead guilty to it. So here's these four people that we know about, and of these four, you're the most culpable, so therefore you should be the manager, or as they said initially, you should be the leader or organizer of this conspiracy. We would submit that that's not enough, that the government has a duty, especially in enhancements such as this, to provide enough information regarding the entire conspiracy. Now, as far as him carrying the money through the metal detector on the way back to Tennessee, he testified that after giving the money back, that he was given money because he was going to San Diego without any, to visit his wife, or I'm sorry, his girlfriend and his daughter. He specifically said, I was going without any money, so Mr. Howell gave me some to travel. Again, it's questionable why he was giving the money, but that was his testimony in and of itself. If there's nothing further, we ask you to vacate and remand for resentencing without the enhancement. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Ms. Garst. And Ms. Garst, in addition to those thanks, you have the additional appreciation of the court for accepting this assignment and representing Mr. Howell in this case. Mr. Hartzler, a hat trick plus one. I don't recall the last time we've had counsel in four cases, but it's good to see you back in court and wish you a safe trip home. All right. Case is taken under advisement. Court will stand in recess.